We have our next guest on the line. He is Daniel Silk. He is a political and economic analyst and futurist and prolific writer as well, amongst lots of other things. Daniel, once again, what a treat to have you back with us on 101.9 Chai FM.
Yeah, always a pleasure to be with you guys.
So you wrote an article on the weekend. It was published in News24. I found it absolutely fascinating. The title of the article was "A Black Swan and a Downgrade Will Test South Africa." I want you to take us through the article, but let's start with Economics 101 and explain, just for those who don't perhaps know, what is a black swan?
Well, a black swan, as it has been known in the past, is an unplanned event of substantial magnitude that has a major impact. And I think it's fair to say that we now barely at the end of month three of knowing what COVID-19 or the coronavirus actually is. It is, to me, a classic black swan event that no one predicted, and indeed no one predicted how this was would affect the world.
Daniel, the downgrade, however, that the experts were saying had been priced in, that was prior to the coronavirus hitting us as well. But the two together, firstly, do you agree that the effect of the downgrade had been priced into the market?
I think we'd seen a fair amount of it priced in. Of course, one must remember that over the course of the last 6 weeks or so and the last month, we'd seen additional pressure as a result of the coronavirus. So it's quite difficult for me to ascertain to what amount can we extrapolate, let us say, on the currency.
Sure.
To what degree it's related to the pricing in of the downgrade or the coronavirus. But ultimately, I think there was an expectation that it was highly likely that we would be downgraded. There just wasn't enough meat on the bones in the last budget. There wasn't enough political will ultimately from President Ramaphosa in terms of the necessary structural political reforms, all of those issues we've discussed ad nauseum before. But then came, yes, of course, COVID-19. And COVID-19 really pushed us over the edge. I might add, it's not just South Africa that's going to face downgrades. We will see many other countries face downgrades as their debt position deteriorates. Most countries are now going to have to raise capital through taking on debt in order to spend to help their populations. And we are not alone in that. The problem for us is that we come off the back of a recession and we have very limited resources available to spend on mitigating the effects for the average South African from an economic point of view. And that's where it leaves us substantially more vulnerable than it would a United Kingdom or a United States or Switzerland or Germany for that matter.
And Daniel, when you take into account also the fact that so many of our citizens are immunocompromised and are needing help, that so many people live in townships, and how do you isolate? I mean, we have absolutely unique problems in this country.
Well, we've certainly got a set of problems that are not just unique globally. Of course, if you go to a variety of other developing countries and on the African continent, you know, the existing economic and living conditions similar in part to South Africa. Certainly, if you went to parts of Southeast Asia, to the poorer parts, if you went to Brazil, parts of Latin America, you have quite similar dense populations living in relative poverty, with little access to resources and very poor savings rates, I might add, to keep them afloat during this period. So we are not alone in suffering many of these characteristics, but suffice to say that with a population here just below 60 million, with a very limited tax base in South Africa, and with an economy that was in recessionary territory prior to the coronavirus, this really puts us in a major spot of bother, to use a corny cliche.
And corny cliches aside, there was a line in your article that really jumped off the page at me. You were stating that the debt-to-income ratio could be as high, I think it was as 91%.
No, I don't think I specifically mentioned that.
I've been reading a lot.
Our debt-to-GDP ratio currently, you know, is standing at just over 60%. It's projected to go to 60, 70% or so. Conceivably, we could look at a major increase in that. So I didn't predict that, but I think it is conceivable. That means that we are going to have to borrow. We're going to have to borrow, and the double whammy of the ratings downgrade means it's going to cost us more to borrow, because when risk is factored in and the downgrade means that we are a riskier country, it costs more for a country with a sub-investment grade rating to borrow money. So that's the worst possible timing. The rating agencies kicked us when we were down, but ultimately it was expected given our lack of performance and poor policy choices over many, many years. So the issue, and I think the interesting issue, which I wrote about, is what do you do now? In order to provide us with funds to assist on the health side and to manage the economy, we are going to have to borrow more, and it means we're going to have to borrow from people we didn't want to borrow from before, be it the World Bank or be it the International Monetary Fund. And we know that government was very reluctant to even think about this in the past, but I can tell you over this last weekend and literally overnight, I think there will have to be, out of necessity, a change in priorities and a shifting of the political space to allow us to borrow money to tide us over.
If you were to grade Cyril Ramaphosa's handling of this crisis, what grade would you give him?
Well, I think we've seen an impressive early response to the crisis. I think we've taken action rapidly, and we've taken action before the caseload has become almost too unbearable to handle. So initially, I would grade the president quite highly, but I think clearly what's going to be of interest in South Africa, and I say interest from an academic point of view, is, you know, how do we implement many of these rules? We try to do two things at once. We're trying to solve the spread of the virus, which is ultimately a medical issue, but we also, at the same time, trying to instill sort of social discipline in a population that hasn't been known for its great adherence to that social discipline. So when you're trying to change a habit, it becomes even more difficult. And how you apply your security forces and even your defense forces in this is going to be critical, because you don't want to be heavy-handed when it comes to clamping down on the freedom of movement. And if you are, you run the risk of backlash from the citizens of South Africa. So that's something we will have to watch over time. But in terms of the initial steps taken, I think we've taken them well. But I'm going to be watching the sort of managing of the restrictions, managing of the restrictions of our civil liberties, and how those are applied in the more medium term.
Daniel Silk, wow, that was so unbelievably insightful. I'm going to count on you to keep us updated over the next couple of weeks, because, your insights seem to be spot on. Thank you so much for talking to us here on 101.9 Chai FM.
Pleasure. Always good to be with you.